Well, get your pencils out and to take notes. Our personal finance contributor, Michelle Singletary, is here to answer some of your money questions. She spoke earlier with my colleague, day-to-day host Alex Chadwick.
Michelle, welcome back. Here's the first question. This is from a Los Angeles listener who writes, my brother and I are African-American. We've saved $20,000 to buy a new home. My brother's self-employed. He makes $50,000. I make $25,000 and have $15,000 in school loans. So that's total income, $75,000, $15,000 school loans. We don't have bad credit, but we do not have any credit. We're interested in the plethora of first-time homeowner programs, but don't know which is best. We're interested in a triplex to help offset mortgage costs. Any advice?
They are right on track in terms of wanting to become homeowners. Unfortunately for African Americans, we lag significantly in home ownership behind the rest of the country. You know, it goes up and down between 48 and 50%, as opposed to 70% for the rest of the country. So they're doing absolutely the right thing in trying to purchase a home. I'm a little concerned they may not have enough money and also their credit. You know, the lack of a credit history might mean that they have a low credit score, both of them, which will mean they'll have to pay more for that home loan. So I would advise them to go to HUD's website, www.hud.gov. They have lots of information on homeownership. They actually just started an interactive webcast that'll take people through the home buying process. It's excellent. I watched it. Lots of really good information. It's a good place to start if you're a first-time home buyer.
Okay, good. That's the Federal Department of Housing and Urban Development. Okay, next question. Michael Flood from Georgia asks, how much should long-term financial planning play a part in first home purchase? How much should a first-time home buyer stretch to get into a more valuable property? I bet that a lot of people want answers to that one.
Oh, my goodness. There's so many people stretching themselves so thin that you can see right through them. And listen, it makes no sense to get into a house and to be house poor and stressed out and possibly get behind on your mortgage payments because you can't afford that house. Now, having said that, I know that a lot of people out there going, girl, are you crazy? Look at the housing prices. You can't do anything but stretch. I believe in home ownership. I preach it. But don't do it if it's going to cost you so much. You know, be sound about it. If you live in an area and you absolutely can't afford anything without spending 40, 50% of your income, then you may have to move. You may have to team up with a relative or a friend to buy a home. Really, your mortgage should not be more than, say, 30%, 28 to 30% of your take-home or your gross pay per month. Homeownership is a key part of your financial plan. Many retirees retire on the equity in their home, but that shouldn't be your only plan. You should be saving cash so you have your emergency fund. You should be investing if you got a 401k plan, if you don't, get an IRA, individual retirement account, and also, you know, Social Security. We're not sure what it's gonna be, but right now it still is a key part. So that's three things: savings, investing, Social Security, and then your house. Don't count on just your house being your retirement plan.
Michelle Singletary writes the syndicated column The Color of Money for the Washington Post, and she is day-to-day's personal finance contributor, a guest here on Tuesdays. Thanks again, Michelle.
You're welcome.
And you, dear listeners, send questions to Michelle by going to our homepage, npr.org, click on the Contact Us button, and please put Michelle in the subject line.